This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
On Hope 103.2, joining us the author of True You, Susan Sun. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This book caught my attention straight away because there's honest stories from women, not just yourself, but women right around Australia who have different things going on in their life. Mm-hmm. What was it that made you think this book needed to be written?
You know, I have spent my life on social media. Well, not my life, but the recent years on social media. And I was listening to conversations in the dark of the night. And women were sharing things. People were sharing things. And I thought, you know what? I think we need to start being a little bit more honest and a little bit more true with who we really are and the stuff that we're really walking through. Mm-hmm. And I think we were caught in this. Life is beautiful. Everything's great. We've now moved into this taking photos of our food and our kitchens look perfect and our kids' lunchboxes are packed to perfection. But behind the scenes, the reality is, at least at my house, when I take a food photo, I have pushed half the stuff to the other side of the bench. So I've actually started taking photos of both sides.
Right.
Just to show. And so I guess it was that. It was, I want to see people living in the truth of who they are.
The message of authenticity that is obviously very clear in True You is also part of the career and the ministry that you've had right up until this point with Get Real Live and everything you've done. Mm-hmm. Why is authenticity so core to what you want to be doing in life?
Because I think all we have is ourselves. And if you listen to people like Brené Brown and Glennon Doyle, showing up is our power. But I think we're showing up with a mask on and we're afraid of presenting our true selves. But what if we all were okay with each other just showing up with our mess, with the stuff that's going on, and you walked into a room and everybody was okay with that? I think it's kind of a powerful place to be. Vulnerability for me, I was an early adopter of vulnerability. I think I've been a little bit maybe considered an oversharer. I don't know. And
sorry.
If I do on this show, just stop me.
Just bring it.
But I think I found that being my true self and not being afraid of her, I think I bring more to a relationship. I bring more to a conversation. I bring more to the room. And I really like who I am. Hmm. So why would I not present that?
Yeah, it does take a level of trust, though. Like, if you're going to walk into a room, particularly of brand new people, let alone friends you've known for years, you do have to be able to instantly trust that room and those people with who you are. How did you get to a place where you were comfortable to do that?
Well, do you have to trust the room or do you have to trust yourself?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you have to first trust yourself. And I think it goes back to, we have to start to value ourselves. We have to start to actually really love ourselves. And my kids laugh all the time at my husband because I love looking in the mirror. And I'll look in the mirror of my home and walk by and say, man, you're fantastic. And I know it sounds like, I know.
Do it. Why not?
Exactly. But if you actually think about it, and I say to my kids all the time and my friends that I remind myself that I am perfectly made. That I'm planned, purpose, and chosen for such a time as this. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And it's something that I choose to believe. Mm. I actually choose to believe that. And then from believing that, I choose to walk in that. So when I walk into a room, I guess I walk in with expectation of myself, of just being me. And because I come from that place of really liking me, which I know can sound a little arrogant, but it's not. It actually, I really like who God made me to be. And I like the rough edges and I like the flaws and I like all that stuff about me. And I'm actually okay if you don't like me because I do.
It's clearly something that you've contemplated a lot. And in True You, one of the early chapters is, I'm going to get this title right. It's called Truth Sets Free. So why am I stuck in lies? What were some of the lies you felt that you were carrying?
Wow. Okay. How much time do we have? I'm really honest in this chapter. I talked about early marriage and the stuff that my husband and I brought into our marriage. And we really lived caught in the snare of lies. And the challenges that you can go through as a young couple. And the lies that we held then were compounded by the things that we thought people would think about us. So we felt it was safer to just live in that place.
Like pretending you had a happy, beautiful looking marriage.
Yeah, yeah. And we did. But there were those things that were holding us back. And I guess I'm not letting a lot out of the bag, so you have to buy the book to read what those things
of
were.
Of course.
But I'm really honest about what we were walking through. And so if you're, we're scared of truth. And I say throughout the book, if the truth is out, you can walk through anything. But I think we're scared to put that truth out there, for we're scared of judgment. We're scared of what we will think about ourselves. We're scared of what other people will think about us. But we actually have to let that go because truth is freeing.
Is that the answer that you came to then of why you were stuck in lies, was because you had a fear of the truth?
I think I had a fear of not so much the truth for me. I think I had a fear of losing it all and what people would think.
Yeah.
Newly married. What if it fell apart? What would people think at church? What would people think in work? What if I lost everything? That was probably for me. I don't know what it is for other people.
Yeah. Where do you think that fear originates, of judgment or of things falling apart? Because it's something that a lot of people listening will identify with. But where did it come from?
I think all of us. I think we do it to each other. I think if we are honest and we give a good hard look, we judge one another all the time. And it's pretty rough. And I think we need to stop.
Yeah. And show a little love to people, because if we collectively agree right here, right now, we're all going to be vulnerable, we're going to be truthful and honest, then it does mean that each of us are accountable to respond to that truth with grace and with forgiveness if that's needed, and just a generous listening ear as well.
Yeah. I think, you know, you mentioned the word kindness. I think if we actually had operated a bit kinder every single day. And we've all heard that quote, be kinder than necessary. You never know what someone else is walking through. And I think if we actually, in the practices at the end of each chapter, I go through a contemplative meditative practice that we have adopted through something called the Gathering Cloud that we've started. And we always say that we're made from love and for love. And if we start to operate from that perspective, you and I sitting here today, if I enter into this conversation understanding that I'm made from love and I'm made for love, I'm going to actually have a different posture towards you.
Right.
Our conversation will be different because I'm actually valuing you, I'm valuing myself, and I'm valuing what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's a check to actually listen to the people that you're talking to and be, I mean, people talk about it being present in the moment and all of those sorts of things. But when it comes down to it from a human relational level, it really is just stopping, looking someone in the eye and listening and engaging in that conversation, no matter whether it's a quick 5-minute hi, goodbye, or whether it's a deeper, longer lasting chat.
Yeah, and that's what I tried to do at the end of each chapter, be present to presence. And exactly what you're saying, we live in such a hurried space. And back to your original question, I was, why did I write this? What was going on? I think chaos was the ruling theme in my life. And so to actually stop and be still, and going back to, you know, be still and know that I'm God, what does that actually mean? And do we actually stop and rest in that? And do we breathe that in and contemplate that? And then do we live from that place?
And you talk to a number of other people in the book as well, sharing their experiences with the mask that you mentioned as well. As you were sitting across from some of these people, what were the biggest challenges you found being brought up in their lives?
You know, loneliness was a huge one. People are very lonely. And I guess that goes back to, if we were better listeners and just being present to presence, would people be as lonely? Mm. I was surprised at how lonely people were. And I have said many times that I think a lot of people booked in for the interviews because it was the only conversation they'd have all day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener, isn't it? Loneliness, I think I do a great chapter on addiction, and I go down a good path, worth a read. And I think what I realized was people want to know that their story matters. Mm. So what they've been through matters, which then lends itself towards the conversation of authenticity. If we were actually living authentically and the truth of who we are, then our stories would be out there.
That's another thing that you do hear people say, that each of us have a unique set of life experiences that no one else has. So our stories are unique, they are valuable. And even though we've got social media, people don't really have a space to share the uniqueness of their story. So you really gave them that space with this book.
I tried to. And I also tried to say, with, you know, the whole social media thing, don't compare your lowlights to someone else's highlights. And I think we do that a lot. So yeah, I tried to open up a conversation that I haven't seen anywhere else.
Because even hashtag authenticity isn't always very authentic because it's a crafted version of this is how I just naturally woke up, authentic, fresh face. No, it's not.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's not. I can see that you've totally put mascara on or at least not washed it off from the night before. So it's there when you wake up. Anyway, my rant aside, when you are actually digging into some of these honest places with people, that can be, like, I hesitate to say the word dangerous, but it's sort of, it can undo things that are perhaps only starting to heal or people are starting to cope with.
Yeah.
When people shared their pain with you, what did you tell them to do with it? How did you handle it?
Yeah, so that was a big one. And when we first put out the call on social media and said we're going to go deep really fast and we're going to do 30-minute interviews, I put a little calendar beside the post and went to bed thinking, oh, I'll probably have a few that book in. I woke up the next morning and 3 months of my life were planned.
Wow.
That's how many people booked in for the interview. And so, yes, one of the things that I talk about in the book is about pain. And I walk people through how you can sit in your pain. And I think we push pain under the carpet a lot and we're afraid to sit in that space. But in actually sitting in that space and being bold enough to acknowledge it and even welcome it and say, you know, welcome hurt, welcome disappointment, welcome grief, welcome sadness, welcome, I welcome you. And then in the next breath, welcoming God into that place.
Mm.
There's something really powerful in being brave enough to sit in that. And then in addition to that, I write about our retreats that we host. And we host incredible retreats that are more of an in-depth dive into some of that stuff. And yeah, big things come out.
Mm.
But we have put the right things around to allow people that space to walk through that. And I know in my own, I share about miscarriages that I've had. And I share about a lot of loss that we have walked through. And understanding and learning how to sit in that pain and learning how to process it. Pain is a process. And I think when you sweep it under the carpet, you have done a process, but potentially not the process that you were meant to walk through. And pain is a wonderful teacher. As hard as it is, it's a wonderful teacher.
Mm. In the book, you do talk about value. You also talk about resilience. Where do those themes come into play in a life of authenticity?
Wow. Well, I think resilience is a woman's best friend. And interestingly enough, with this book, I've been told that I'm doing it a disservice because a lot of men have gotten a lot out of this.
And they just eavesdrop on the women's stories. It's fine. They're allowed.
That's it. And so although I say resilience is a woman's best friend, I think resilience is something that we all have and we all walk in. We may not recognize it as resilience, but I think there's something really powerful that happens when we rise. And in the resilience chapter, I talk about my mom and I talk about a really hard time in life when your parents are aging and you're at the decision when you got to take driver's licenses away and you've got to do all those painful things. And that's where I sit right now. And it's really hard. But I watched this incredible woman being faced with her independence shifting and moving into a new season of her life. And I thought back to, you know, she's lost a child. And I've thought back to all the times in her life when she was resilient. And I write about the look on my mom's face and the tears rolling down her face. And resilience is a beautiful space to walk in. But again, to be resilient, we probably have had to walk through something. And so being authentic with that and owning that and living that, there's, again, it goes back to that freedom thing. There's power in that. And where does value come into that? Valuing self and valuing one another. I go back to that again. When we live from that place, we live very, very differently.
Mm. And valuing your pain too, by the sounds of it as well. Like if you can place value on yourself as well as the tough experiences you go through, it sounds like it's a much easier way to live.
It is. And when I talk about the miscarriages that I walked through, I talk about, I think it's six words, maybe it's seven. I can't count right now, but I called my sister, as we all do when, you know, whether it's your sister or your best friend. And she said some powerful words to me and she said, "Let it be well with your soul." And when she said that to me, it gave me permission to sit in that pain, which was a very physical pain at the time and an emotional pain and fear. And I sat in that and I rested in those words and was very vulnerable. And yeah, I think through that, valuing me in that moment, I also saw the resilience of myself.
Wow, that sounds like a really special experience too. And as we've mentioned, you are hearing this from a lot of other people as well. Were there any particular stories that really gripped you that you thought, this is why this book was written?
Yeah, there was a woman and her name is Helen in the book. Everybody's got a new name. Helen, and she talked about growing up in a home that was very violent, and she talked about watching her father slam her mother's face on the kitchen table. This was her life. She said her father was an angel in the street and a devil at home. Mm. And she came to one of our retreats and really walked through some of the depths of pain that as a 50-year-old woman, she had carried her entire life. And seeing her acknowledge that, hold it, and having a company and a group of women who chose to sit with her in her pain and gently walk through that with her was, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget. And when she arrived at the retreat, she had tears rolling down her face. And she said to me, because we send out stuff before they come, and she said, if this is all I've gotten from you, I've gotten enough already.
Wow.
And so then to see her go through that weekend of transformation, her story and her lived experience was very painful. There's another one of a woman who only wore tracksuit pants. And she wore tracksuit pants because she didn't value herself because she was never valued in her life. And then hearing people speak value to her and seeing other people value themselves. I could go on for hours with the stories because they were so rich. Mm. And there's another one of a 26-year-old woman who was pregnant with her fourth baby and found out she had cancer.
Wow.
And walking through all of that. So, yes, there are countless stories. Mm. And I hold their truth in my hand very delicately.
And so many people will be able to, whether it's specifically or not, identify with those things and be so encouraged by the way these women were honest and the way that you in the book talk them through things and help them process things. And obviously we can tell that you were very knowledgeable on this subject and that you've come to it with a lot of background. But what did you learn through True You that you're now going to be holding close?
I learned once again, and this is something that my father taught me, and I watched him live it out, that people matter and their stories matter. And I was reminded once again that listening is extremely powerful. So it sounds very simple, but I think listening to people, and I heard someone say the other day, rather than be interesting, be interested. And I think that in itself, when you come to that place where you really, as I said earlier, like yourself and value you, you're able to extend that hand and be interested rather than desperate to be interesting.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I've learned is that I want to be interested in people. I want to tell people stories and I want to be in their stories. I want to sit in their pain. And there's a great quote by Ram Dass, and I use it in the book, that says, we're all just walking each other home. Mm. And I love that.
That is powerful. And both of those things are something that are really encouraging and they make you relax, because in a world that says be interesting, you have to be interesting and make your life look amazing. And like, yes, there's a place where all of our lives are interesting, of course, to actually just go, I just have to be interested. I like that.
Good.
Very powerful, Susan. Thank you so much for your time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.